There was a production studio, there was the broadcast studio, there was an actual room for the music, which had to have been a huge relief to you, Bonnie, to have lots and lots of cabinets and space. There were actual offices for the administration. And there was a sort of a space at the beginning, sort of like a little reception area as well. So it made it much bigger. And I think possibly that was sort of the trajectory the station was taking as it moved toward the FM license, was it became more legitimate and moved into this more centrally located and actually a real radio station.
Yes. And what was wonderful for me was, well, I had the office bit too, but they had an entire room for the music library. I mean, I could put all the albums there, get more albums, and not worry about where they were going to go. So it did give us the legitimacy. We were more involved then with other radio stations. Like, not just Waterloo, but in Ottawa, et cetera. And we'd go to a couple of conferences with them. And then we went to started going to more sort of music gatherings where the record companies were doing like host and showing off, their artists and new releases. And they'd ask us what we thought of them. And we tried to very politely say, oh, it's nice, but not really our thing, or we're really interested in things like that. And we began getting more interviews and that with artists that came on campus, and just generally more people became interested in not just listening to the station, but actually becoming a part of it. And we expanded in areas that we really couldn't do that. So we had more international stuff and more student-oriented stuff that would appeal to not just the campus but beyond. So we could do strictly blues shows and world music shows and things like that. And it was more regulated. We had to watch ourselves a little bit more, but at the same time we were expanding. Nikki Dread was doing his show, which was, unique because only Nikki Dread could do it. Steve Bird was doing his thing. Smithers came over. Paul Rudo was there. They were all sort of part of the new wave that was coming in. Not new wave, musically new wave, in the sense of it was some things we were doing before. All sorts of people were coming over and interested in doing things, Interion was more interested in us than before. It was, a time of growth at that point. And also record companies were paying a little bit more attention when I wrote letters and as far as the library was going. I could tell you that S34 was Cat Stevens, or S64, I think, was Steppenwolf or something like that. And by then we were getting it, well, even just before then, we were starting to get a better system. We're putting it on the computer. I can remember filling out the computer cards, and at that time you filled out cards, and the computer that we went to was like something from like hell. It was as an HAL. It was an entire room. I don't know which building I was in, but I know we went there. I used to have one of the computer cards. I think I finally threw it out, but all the staff was sort of like filling those in so we could get all the records on under, so that we would know what we had and everyone would get to know what we had. And then that extra room in the new facilities meant that you could come in and listen to music before, the new stuff, before you went and played it on air or something like that. So, and train people so they could actually be trained before they went on air. Because sometimes that didn't go over very well in the physical science building.
I think you learned when you went on the air, didn't they? Like whoever it was stood behind you and said, now push this.
Yeah.
This is how you do that, like while you were broadcasting. It was a bit terrifying, but kind of thrilling too.